Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of light, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact this show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please. Press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Casey Goodson, killed by law enforcement while carrying sandwiches and keys or waving a gun. On December 4th, 2020, 23-year-old Casey Goodson was killed by a 17-year law enforcement veteran, Deputy Jason Meade. Casey was walking into the doorway of his home with sandwiches in his hands. Law enforcement alleges he was told to drop a gun he was carrying. The family stated Casey was shot in the back as he carried sandwiches back into his family's home. From MSM News, Kaylee Harper, Goodson's sister, wrote in her Facebook post, they say, about, you know, what the department claims. She said, they're lying. My brother literally walked across the yard, walked into the back fence to get to the side door, had his Subway sandwich and face mask in one hand, keys in the other, unlocked and opened the door and stepped inside the house before they shot him. He did all that before getting shot. Why is that even important? Well, let's see why that seems also very strange. From this patch, according to Peter Tobin, the U.S. Marshal for the Southern District of Ohio, on that day, December 4th, 2020, a fugitive task force had that included marshals from Franklin County Sheriff's Office, SWAT members, and had been searching for a suspect on Estates Place near Carl and Ferris Roads. Their search was unsuccessful. Right, so they got a SWAT team. A posse out there, right? They trying to find somebody, right? Fugitive task force, right? Tobin said that's when a man, whom they later identified as Casey Goodson, drove by waving a handgun at a sheriff SWAT deputy who was in an unmarked vehicle. The deputy went to confront Goodson about waving the handgun. Goodson was already out of his vehicle outside of the residence in the 3900 block of Estates Place, where he lives with his grandmother. They go on and say that Goodson was told to drop his gun, and a command was heard by a civilian witness nearby. When Goodson did not drop his handgun, Officer Meade shot him. Mr. Walton, the family's attorney, said Goodson's death was witnessed by his 72-year-old grandmother and two toddlers who were near the door when he was shot. Even after hours of his death, they say the keys that he used to let himself in the house as he was shot and killed hung in the door. They said that was a reminder how close to his family, how close he was to safety. Well, he wasn't close to safety at all. Breonna Taylor was killed inside her house, her home. So, but anyway, to move on. They say, but in a 9/11 call obtained by dispatch through public records, Goodson's grandmother told a dispatcher she did not see the shooting firsthand. Police had said there were no witnesses to the shooting and that Meade did not have a body cam because Franklin County Sheriff's deputies do not have body cams. So that's why you don't have no video. Because there is nothing to take a video. Mark Collins, they say, a local attorney who is representing Meade, stated, at no time did Deputy Meade mistake a sandwich for a gun. Mr. Goodson pointed his gun at Deputy Meade. So we're going to pump my brakes right here and try to make some sense out of this, because we got a task force. We got a man waving that says another man's waving his gun at him. What the hell does that mean anyway? As he drives by. And then this man goes home and is followed by the deputy who said that he waved the gun at him. Right? So I just have some questions, because this thing seems real, you know, like Twilight Zone-ish. Number one, just one deputy followed Casey home? Could that be because no one else saw Casey wave a gun, or no one perceived it as a threat, or me didn't see Casey wave a gun? It's a task force in a neighborhood. Meade's motive for pursuing Casey is only supported by his own testimony, which is most people's motive anyway. That's their own testimony. They're going to back it up by what they say. They're going to say what it is, you know, they felt, you know, compelled them to do whatever it is they had to do. Casey went from waving a gun at me, right, as reported, right, by this officer. He went from waving a gun at me in his vehicle while passing, right, to Casey pointing a gun at me at his home, according to his Meade's attorney, right? Because they said Casey went to confront him about waving the gun, right? Casey did all of that while holding sandwiches and putting his keys in and opening his front door. He actually shot this guy. What would be Casey's motive for pointing his gun at the officer? This is a fresh case, so I'm going to be throwing a whole lot of questions in the game. Just is going on here. This is a offending officer, the only witness, making it his word against the family's word. Is that what we have here? Remember, it's a task force in the community. So, I don't know. It all sounds very suspicious to me. Why is me the only officer on the scene? He's waving a gun, part of a huge task force, yet he appears to be pursuing Casey alone. Why didn't me immediately stop Casey when he was driving by, flashing his lights and alerting the task force? Why didn't he do that? Casey had enough time to park his car, walk to the door of his home, put the key in, and open the door before being killed. The officer's statement to law enforcement was, he went to confront Casey about waving the gun, not arrest Casey. Did Casey hear or see that a law enforcement officer was pursuing him? Did Meade identify himself as law enforcement? The officer's story could be a fabrication, an explanation to validate and justify the killing? If me told Casey to drop the gun, that is not consistent with an officer having a gun pointed at him. That is consistent with a person in possession of a gun, but not threatening to use it. And I'm not saying Casey had his gun out or pointed it at the officer or not. I'm just brainstorming. Are we to think that Meade allowed Casey to point a gun at him and instead of shooting him immediately, he gave a verbal command? That's what we're saying. That's what Meade wants us to believe. That's a hard pill to swallow. Damn, somebody pointed a gun at him and he, you know, told him to drop the gun. Anyway, dispatch also went on to say that the autopsy was mostly muddled. He said, this is really weird, right? There's another weird, there's a lot of weird stuff happening here. The autopsy has mostly muddled the waters. It just hasn't helped anything. It just made everything, you know, even more unclear. Since the autopsy failed to clarify whether or not Goodson was shot in the back, as the family says. So that's a hell of a coincidence right there. Right? Meade needs the autopsy to support Casey being shot in the front to remotely support his case or claim that Casey pointed his gun at Meade. Right now, the coroner appears to be conveniently stupid or incompetent. But all of a sudden, the coroner can't do his job. He don't know if these are exit wounds, entry wounds or not. He's stupid. Incompetent. So who are these guys? First, I want to say first, which I felt to mention in the beginning, is that Ohio is an open carry state. And Casey is a licensed firearm. He has what they call a CH something. He's a concealed something. He's licensed to carry a gun. So I'm going to get into the law regarding that also. We move along. Just give you a little background information. A family friend said about Goodson. Said he was very committed to his family. He never had any type of crimes. He's not a convicted criminal or anything like that. So he was good. He worked at the GAT. Loved his family. He just enjoyed being a big brother and enjoyed being with his family. He loved them very much. Now, the lawyer, Sean Watson, stated Goodson was very protective of his family and was the elder of the 10 children, had a concealed carry license to protect his family, and was a gun rights advocate. All right, so there's no law. Even if he did have a gun out, he's not breaking the law if he had a gun in his hand. Right, because it's open carry state. And he's a license. Okay, he's licensed to carry. Remember, Meade is a 17-year law enforcement veteran. He should know what to do. He should know what is right, wrong, and he probably knows how to explain this thing away. With a little help, he'll be back to shooting brothers in the back in no time. Meade was a part of the county SWAT team and was assigned full-time work with the U.S. Marshals Office Fugitive Task Force. Deputy Meade is not a Columbus police officer, where he was shot in Columbus, Ohio. There are no dash cam videos in an unmarked vehicle, right? So there's no dash cam. This is the weird part. It's a task force in the neighborhood. This guy's waving a gun. Only one person from the task force sees it. Only one person goes over to, as he says, confront Casey. That right there is weird right there. We got a whole task force in the neighborhood. You know, so if only civil and criminal lawsuits made all this better, that would be so nice. I would much rather these brothers be amongst the living than the so-called justice that is about to be shuffled out. And I'm talking about all the brothers. The goal here is not justice after the fact. We don't want justice after the fact, do we? I mean, that sucks. How can you get justice after the fact? We need justice before someone loses their life to someone else's nonsense or injustice. That's the way justice should be working. Not after the fact. Not because you get you lose the criminal or you don't have a criminal lawsuit, but you win the civil. You get a couple of million because somebody murders your family member, your loved one, your husband, you know, your brother, sister, your father, you know, whatever. The justice we want is the justice that doesn't kill us, doesn't discriminate against us. That's the justice Black folks want. Again, to those responsible, accountable, respectable persons in law enforcement, thank you. Your presence is much needed. To those aggressive, fearful, irresponsible, disrespectful persons who have disdain and hatred for the community they serve, get out of law enforcement. It's the same words that power. I wish that right there had some power right there, because they really, I don't care if it's only 50 cops left in the whole country. You know, we don't need these kind of people all running around, because they're going to cause a much bigger problem. Now, if people can't see that, that's another problem. You're too blind to see that all of these scary guys, these racists, these aggressive guys, or these, I don't know, you just might have some very crazy people on the police force. These fearful people, they're going to cause a much bigger problem than what we have today. I think if an officer's only reason for taking a life is he or she was fearful, they should go straight to prison. We would shoot somebody and say, oh, you was fearful. There is no, oh, he put a gun on me. There is no, he was coming at me. There was no nothing. Just you were scared of him. You're going to jail. From USA Today. The Goodson family had said through an attorney that Goodson had been shot 3 times in the back. Law enforcement has faced criticism for Goodson's death, right? No doubt. Authorities and family members tell conflicting stories about the events that led to his death, specifically whether he waved a gun. Now, Goodson was shot by Meade about 12:15 p.m. So that's light outside. You know, this is after, as I said, an unsuccessful search for a fugitive involving a U.S. Marshals task force. Right? Law enforcement officials have said Goodson drove by after deputies and agents had finished their unrelated operation on the north side. So he lives on the north side or wherever that town is they at, right? So, and they said Goodson was waving a firearm at police. So that's more than one police, right? According to the narrative of events, when confronted, right, Goodson did not drop the firearm, and 17-year veteran Jason Meade shot him. I think that's at least three times. Okay. So, it appears that law enforcement appears to be okay with the officer's version of the killing. If the family members are eyewitnesses to the killing, each eyewitness represents a nail in the coffin for the officer who shot him, especially if he shot him in the back. Because remember, the guy was had the key in the door. Door was open. They didn't say they opened the door for him. They said he opened the door. So that right there is inconsistent with what this officer is saying. Because he's saying the man pointed. He told him to drop the weapon. And so how did this black man get to drive by a multi-law enforcement task force waving a weapon without springing 1,000 leaks in his body? Somebody explain that to me. All these people get killed by law enforcement without guns. Here we got a guy they accuse, say, allege that he's waving a gun at police. These police are looking for a fugitive. Nobody shot him. Nobody approached him. Nobody did anything except for me. That's unbelievable, especially considering what happened afterwards, after they say he was waving his gun at police. That's as he's driving his car down the street. Nobody stopped him. But he made it home. He made it basically literally one step inside of his house. So that right did draw a lot of suspicion to what the officer is saying. Just the fact that this man was in the door when he got killed. Keys in the door, sandwich in the hand. That's a hell of a stunt. You got sandwich in one hand, keys in another hand, and he's banging the officer, trying to bang the officer with the other. He only got two hands, so I don't know how he's doing that. So maybe he had the keys and sandwich in one hand, banging the officer with the other hand. I don't know. And this is a guy without a criminal record. It's weird. Let's suppose Casey was waving a firearm, like they said. Which doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense. The fact that he was not gunned down immediately, right, while he was driving his car, waving a weapon, right? The fact that he was not gunned down immediately is indicative, right? It's an indication it was a non-threatening gesture and or proceed as a non-threatening gesture or with no gesture at all. Many have been gunned down for far less than that. Some with no gun at all. That's what makes this thing so strange, because this didn't start at his house. All this gun waving started as he was driving his vehicle past task force, police, me. So I'm trying to make sense of it, because if you listen to the two story, if you listen to Meade's story, just forget about what the grandma said. If you just listen to Meade's story, it's weird. It's the weirdest story you want to hear. Saying the man was waving his gun, and he made it home, almost in the house, with only one officer trailing. Now, does anybody find that weird, or is it just me? Especially since these officers are pursuing a particular criminal. Like, they out there looking for somebody. How did he even make it out of his vehicle if he threatened this posse with lethal force? What exactly does waving a gun mean anyway? Pointing a gun in motion? What does that mean, waving a gun? They want us to believe that Casey pointed his gun at law enforcement and didn't get gunned down immediately. It's a task force out there. That's what they want us to believe. I find that very hard to believe. Not one shot was fired when they said he actually waved the gun. Makes no sense to me. That is highly unlikely, especially for a black man. Yet, the officer is justified in killing a man the officer does not describe as waving or pointing, or did not describe, because I got that other information later on, did not describe as waving or pointing a gun at the time he decided to kill him. The description he gave to the marshal, or whoever that guy was that he went to confront him about waving the gun while he was in the car. He had a gun in his hand, and he didn't drop it. He didn't say nothing about him pointing it. Now the story, the plot thickens, and he actually pointed the gun. He is just a guy who, he says, did not comply with his command to drop a gun in an open carry state. You know, so I guess I'm saying, based on the law, if I am not breaking the law and I don't drop my weapon, I'm carrying a weapon openly, I'm a licensed gun carrier, have a concealed license, and I choose to carry my weapon out. I'm not breaking the law. So just because you tell me to drop my gun, does that make me breaking the law because you told me to drop the gun now, or because I'm not breaking the law? So what I need to drop my gun for, I'm not breaking the law if I just have my gun, if you see it. So I don't know what happened. I don't have boots on the ground, but it just seems so strange. Isn't a man waving his gun at police more threatening than a man with his back turned, carrying sandwiches, opening a door? Because if you go by the family's description of what happened, that's exactly what happened. How you explain this man Key being in the door and the door being open if that didn't happen? So if you have physical evidence to support that the brother had his key in the door. What is the lethal threat presented by a legally armed man entering his doorway in an open carry state? There is no lethal threat, and therefore no legal or actual threat. Refusal to drop a weapon you legally have a right to open carry does not constitute a lethal threat. It most definitely does not merit a death sentence, modern day lynching, or assassination. There was no conflict, especially if the family says Casey did not wave his weapon and had sandwiches in his hands when killed. But we'll never know that, right? Because the only testimony we have, the only witness we have, is the individual who admittedly killed this man. But we know it could happen and it could be justified. He could be well within his rights, be killed by police, and it be justified. You know, you can ask Orlando Castell if he was still alive. He would have a lot to say about that, being transparent and about his legal right to carry a weapon. Because he was gunned down at close range by a scary officer. Anyway, the officer did not say the weapon was pointed at him at the time he decided to shoot him in the back three times. He shot Casey simply because he did not obey his command. That's what it looks like. Black men who have resisted white authority have historically and systematically been put to death in this country. It is a common theme in white supremacy and authoritarian ideology. So, it's being vindicated for taking the life of a black man. They did not mention the sandwiches Casey was carrying being found or observed on the ground, only that his legal weapon was found. I guess carrying sandwiches makes Casey look less menacing and more like a guy who's trying to get home alive with food for his loved ones. They ain't mentioned those sandwiches. They mentioned, oh, we found a gun, meaning basically we found the reason Meade had the shooting. He's a license to carry, and it's an open carry state. Even if he had his gun in his hand, he don't have to drop his gun because you're a police officer and you told him to drop it. He's not doing anything. That's not a reason to kill him. It's an open carry state. Someone's not telling the truth. Goodson's family said that he had a valid license to carry a concealed weapon, which Columbus police confirmed that, right? He was carrying Subway sandwiches while walking into his home when he was shot. They didn't even mention that. I didn't hear nobody mention that. I didn't hear none of the police say they found a gun, but they didn't say nothing about Subway sandwiches on the ground. Or he's the key in the door. They're saying everything to support Meade's position, which usually happens in all these type of police shootings. They start building that case for that police officer. Anyway, Columbus police have said a firearm belonging to Goodson was recovered at the scene, but information about where exactly the firearm was found has not been released. See how they muddying in the waters right there. That's something you can just say. And I want to say that. It sounds like somebody's trying to paint a picture. Where we need this gun to be at. What can we say was, let's see what information comes out. And before we start mentioning, about this gun, where we found it at. I mean, I'm very suspicious, and I'm going to always be suspicious. So they're not even going to say here we got the coroner. He's dumb. He did it. He cut this man's body up, and I don't know. I don't know what's happening. He don't know nothing. We had the police on the scene. I ain't telling nothing. I ain't telling you. We got a gun, but I ain't telling you where we got it from. I ain't telling you if we got it off his body and his holster. in his pants, on waist, in his pocket, or was it on the ground or the floor inside the house? I'm not saying it. So they're not being transparent. All right, that's a problem. The Columbus police said they would investigate whether Meade was legally justified in the shooting. And they said they believe the federal investigation is warranted. So, the announcement came 24 hours after an exchange between Columbus police and Ohio Attorney General Dave Yost over who would lead the investigation, right? Federal authorities announced Tuesday that they were joining Columbus police in the investigation. Okay, see, this thing's getting bigger. U.S. Attorney David DeVillers announced Tuesday that the FBI, the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice, and the Columbus Police Critical Incident Response Teams will review facts and circumstances surrounding the shooting death of Goodson, right? By Franklin County Sheriff SWAT Deputy Jason Meade. I think one of these agencies, since they weren't called on the scene, won't be participating in that. I think it's the CPC. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. Anyway, I smell a huge rat. Something's not right. They're not being transparent. You're not being transparent about where you retrieved a weapon from a victim. Come on. Why are so many agencies getting involved if the killing was justified? How many agencies does it take to determine if it is justified to shoot a man in the back carrying sandwiches in his home? How many agencies does it take to determine if it is justified to kill a man carrying a licensed weapon in an open carry state because you want him to drop the weapon? How many agencies does it take to determine the likelihood of a black man surviving waving his weapon at a multi-task force and the necessity to kill that same man minutes later? Anybody find that a little weird? I'm going to wave my gun. Task force, only one person sees it. Me, because he's sharp. And minutes later, he's going to follow me. As I get going to my house, he's going to kill me. See, I try to shoot him. Task forces out there. How many agencies does it take to get the truth of what really happened in Columbus, Ohio on December 4th, 2020? That these agencies are there indicates that they're is something very wrong with this picture. From the New York Times, they say Goodson died from multiple gunshot wounds, the coroner said. He gets paid a lot of money, multiple gunshot wounds, but he can't tell if they're entry wounds or exit wounds. Because I could have did that. Autopsy came up with that conclusion. Victim died from multiple guns. I could have done that. Anyway, a man who was shot dead outside, they keep saying outside his home in Columbus, Ohio, by a sheriff's department, died from multiple gunshot wounds to his torso. So that supports the whole thing about we don't know if he was shot in the front or the back. See, that's the muddying of the water there. That's a problem right there. See, it's all getting muddy. How come you ain't, they're not clear? How come the family saying he got shot in the back? But the coroner is saying, hey, I don't know. All I know is he got shot in the torso. You know, well, get with the family could tell you that. 72-year-old grandmother could tell you he got shot in the torso. But they said the back of the torso. And the coroner is rolling his lips. I don't know. He don't know nothing. So they waiting for medical records and toxicology report, which takes up to 12 to 14 weeks. Multiple gunshot wounds to the torso. You can't tell an entry wound from an exit wound. You are supposed to be a coroner. You don't even know if it's possibly from the front or the back. The coroner's office declined to answer questions about how many times Goodson was shot. More murky, muddy waters. From which direction the bullets entered his body. More murky, muddy waters. Or what type of bullet struck him. He won't even say what type of bullet struck this man. The absence of transparency is indicative of the presence of something to hide. I just want to say that one more time. The absence of transparency is indicative of the presence of something to hide. The coroner is paid with tax dollars. It is time the people hold the so-called servants of the people accountable for their actions or lack of cooperation. Because this sounds almost like obstruction to me. Does the coroner not know if Casey was shot in the back or chest? Is he that dumb? Did Casey have exit wounds, thus having three holes in the front and three holes in the back of his torso? This is ridiculous. Did Deputy Meade and other officers state that he shot Casey in the back or the front? Your eyewitness, the man who said he pulled a gun, did he say that he shot him in the front? Because nobody said anything about that. I don't have boots on the ground. I'm not a police officer. And I'm definitely not near Columbus, Ohio. But based on the information that was revealed, we don't hear Meade saying he shot him in the front. It just says torso. So, you know, your torso have, you know, four sides, front, back, and the left and the right side. So, how come? How come nobody knows? Is revealing how many bullets? The professionals not revealing how many bullets, what caliber bullet. If it was shot in the back of the front, why not? Because those things would blow this case open. So we're about to find out how they're going to swing it. And they're going to swing it because you already see the setup for the swing. Right? We don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not telling. Those are all that's a dummy move right there. Deputy Meade and other officers state, did Deputy Meade and other officers state that he shot Casey in the back of the front? It's just another red flag when law enforcement is in the hot seat. Nobody knows what happened. They have to look at the tapes, wait for a toxicology report. For what? You waiting to see? You trying to see the boy was high? Now you trying to say he was high, he pulled his gun out. Smoked some weed. Oh, yeah, he was high. He had some THC in him. They're looking for anything to kind of make this guy not as squeaky clean as his record makes him. We got to investigate. We got to investigate. We got to look at the tapes. We got statements. The statements get discarded. Things disappear. And things are held up. We can't forget about the blue wall, the blue code of silence and support. But that thing goes past blue. It goes to the coroner. FCC, the Attorney General, the District Attorney. This thing is deep. It's systemic. I got a feeling we're going to need a whole rubber suit on this one. That's how deep the SH you know what is. You're going to need a whole rubber suit. Because then it started already. They started in the investigation. Anyway, the article went on to say Goodson was returning home with sandwiches after his dentist appointment, right? When he was shot in the doorway, according to the lawyers for his family, right? A gun was found at the scene, like as I said. And blah, blah, blah. He's licensed to carry a concealed weapon and pointed out that Ohio does not prohibit the open carrying of firearms. So you don't have no business telling a man who's open carrying to drop his weapon if he ain't breaking the law. That's the point I'm making with that, just because somebody's not getting that. The U.S. Concealed Carry Association said Ohio is a shall issue state with concealed weapon permits issued at the county level by the county sheriff in the applicant's county of residence. There is no permit, background check, or firearms registration required when buying a handgun from a private individual. Open carry is legal in Ohio without a permit. Open carry is legal in Ohio without a permit, except in vehicles or in businesses that sell alcohol. Since open carry is not addressed in the state statutes, the federal minimum age for possession of a handgun of 18 yields all applies. Old applies. 18 old applies, so you gotta be 18. Concealed carry is legal for residents with an Ohio concealed handgun license, CHL, and non-residents with valid license permit. Residents 21 years of age and older can obtain a CHL, right? That's a concealed handgun license, right? They must have completed 8 hours of firearms training and meet the criteria to qualify. Current and former servicemen and women able to obtain an Ohio CHL without paying the fee or going through a concealed carry class, because a serviceman should be trained a little better than the average person to use a weapon, right? That makes sense. Okay. Anyway, that's just some of the technicalities of the law. In terms of reciprocity, Ohio will honor permits issued by any state or jurisdiction. So if I'm in Pennsylvania, I go to Ohio, I'm licensed to carry, they say they will honor it. Oh, that's nice. Okay, so Ohio Carry Inc. says this. Basically, Ohio's open carry, right? Ohio's concealed carry laws do not regulate open carry firearms. Open carry of firearms. If you openly carry or use caution, the open carry of firearms is a legal activity in Ohio. The open carry of firearms is a legal activity in Ohio. Right to bear arms challenge to know. You cannot have a loaded handgun in your vehicle without a valid CHL, concealed handgun license, which our guy Casey has. Right? You can never carry long guns loaded in a vehicle. That's your MR-15 AK in a Browning if you happen to run across one of them. That's one of them old World War II killing guns. We have a caller. Welcome to Provocative Thought.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. How you doing, Q?
How you doing, Carl? And good evening, listeners. That's a ridiculous story you keep repeating every couple of months. And, you know, my condolences to that gentleman and his family and friends. I understand what you were saying about we want to get rid of the justice after the fact. We'd rather just not have the facts and everything like that. But we're not going to get to that unless these people get some type of repercussions for them doing that. And it has to affect them directly, not the municipality. You know, everybody's city government or state government or wherever they're from is paying for their mistakes. And I think the shooters need to take some part of that. Otherwise, at least that, if they're not going to be sending these people to jail, they should at least let them take some part of the, you know, the financial burden of paying restitution to these people or their families. They need to get rid of that qualified immunity, and if they don't want to send anybody to jail and let these people feel a little bit of something, because otherwise it's washed under the bridge, because municipalities are just going to pay for everything.
Which is the taxpayers.
Right. Really.
So you're paying for your own killing.
Mm-hmm. Some Congress people were talking about getting rid of that qualified immunity, but I don't know. The law enforcement is not in favor of that, so you know, that's the
qualified. What should qualify a person for immunity is the fact that they have done nothing wrong. How about that? I thought that was a qualification for immunity from prosecution. I was forced to kill someone who was trying to kill me or trying to kill someone else. That qualifies immunity from prosecution. There should be no immunity from you murdering somebody. Because, I was scared. I feared for my life. He had no gun, but I was scared. I thought, I don't know, he was big. He got a criminal record. He smoked weed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he hit his wife. You know, so I killed him. That's who he is. You know, come on. That's you know how many people would be dead if everybody thought that way?
A lot.
If everybody decided to kill the person they didn't like, they hated at that time, or just that, you know how many people would be dead?
Too many.
So the only thing that should qualify you for immunity is the conditions in which led to the action that you took. If there is no conditions there of lethality, right, then you have no right to use lethal force, police officer or not. You cannot create, just like they shouldn't be able to create their own jeopardy. They shouldn't be able to create their own jeopardy of describing their condition. You can't lie about something or stress the truth and say, hey, I had to kill him. Look like he's going for a gun when he's going for his phone. I thought it was a gun. I couldn't see. You couldn't see while you shooting. What you shooting to kill for? You can't see. You can see good enough to kill him. So the strange thing about this situation is that this guy is traveling through a task force, a multi-task force, decides to wave his gun. This guy, Meade, sees it. No one else. Because they say he threatened police. But, you know, and I don't know if that's how they get in the papers to write it or not. Because I don't have the official document. But it seems like only one officer saw it because only one officer responded, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Where is the task force that was there? You know what I'm saying? Why didn't that one officer alert the task force, his support, right?
Mm-hmm.
Say, I'm going after a guy that just waved a gun at me. Why didn't he flash his lights? Huh?
He just waved the gun at us.
Yeah. Why would he alert nobody else? Why wasn't there other police officers on the scene? They all was out there. That's the weird part about it. What's the chances of a black man waving a gun at a cop and getting to drive away and go home? And all the cop want to do is confront him when he walks over. He said, I just went to confront him about waving the gun. You didn't go to arrest him. You went to confront him. What does that mean? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it's just, they just muddy the waters using all these broad terms and stuff like that so that as the case develops, they can figure out what those things do really mean. You know what I'm saying? They're going to take character as the case develops. You know, so they're going to figure out how to get this guy out of this situation. You know, because the family said, hey, he shot as he entered the door. This man had a sandwich in his hand, keys in another hand, sandwich and key in one hand and another gun. He's shooting it, getting ready to shoot the cop so he can give his family a Subway sandwich, I guess. You're going to eat a Subway sandwich. That don't even make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on. No. The guy can't just say, hey, look, I made a mistake. I killed this man and I shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't even follow him.
And he was shooting behind his back, too, apparently.
Yeah, shooting behind his back.
He's trying to shoot an officer behind his back.
Right. But he's putting the keys in the door. So how's he doing that? How's that work? Was he not looking at the door, holding the sandwich, and getting ready to shoot the cop? Doesn't make sense. None of that makes sense to me. The cop story, just say, basically he's just saying what a lot of cops say, I saw a gun. I thought he had a gun. He's saying he absolutely saw a gun. This guy, the licensed carrier. They won't even say where they got the gun from. You know what I'm saying? Because we don't want to say too much because we got to create this scenario, right? About how this thing went down. So we gonna keep it. Mm-hmm. Don't say too much, y'all. It's all very, very suspicious.
They can't take it back.
Huh?
They can't take it back once they say it. They can't
right,
take it back
right.
once they say it.
Right. So and they all waiting.
Because they don't want to say that they took the gun off his person.
Right.
Off his, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because and then that doesn't matter. The guy was saying, when he was saying it, the guy was drawing down on him or something.
Right. Right. So there's two things that hurt this case. One is as the coroner is blocking, I don't know if he got shot in the front or the back. He making all that money and he cut that man up and he don't know nothing.
So for him saying that, I expect there to be wounds on the front and the back.
Right.
Right? Exit wounds
right.
And all that?
That means it should be bullets in the door of the house, which means he could have killed somebody in that house.
Mm-hmm.
So what's going on? It said it's a procedure for police to go by when they think that a person is armed. It sounded like he didn't follow that procedure either. He didn't put something between him and the person with the gun. He just went went toward him. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It don't seem like he put a – I don't know if you heard it. It was a story about these kids got shot in the car where the one officer got out of the car, went around the car, put the car between them and the people in the car that – you know, that wouldn't stop, right? There's teenagers in the car, right? And the other officer, other officer stopped the car, but he proceeded to go toward the moving vehicle. So he didn't follow procedure anyway, and he has a history of not following procedure. Well, this guy is not following procedure either. If you suspect somebody have a firearm, they say you're supposed to put something between you and that person. The officer should take a safe distance and create a barrier between themselves and the other person. You know why? Because you're creating your own jeopardy when you don't do that. Because now you're creating a situation where you might have to shoot. Right?
Mm-hmm.
because you don't have nothing in front of you because you're scared now. So that's, to me, that's an indication there was no threat. He didn't seek the assistance of the fellow officers, and he didn't put a boundary between himself and the so-called gun-toting man, threatening man. Mm-hmm. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So something's wrong with this picture. And that's all I'm saying. It's something very, very wrong with this picture, just based on the fact that how is the coroner's report muddying the investigation?
Mm-hmm.
It would have been better if he didn't even touch the body. Just take this man to the, the morgue. Then if this guy, if anything, I wouldn't be surprised if he did something to the holes. And you can't tell if it's an exit or entry wound. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't be surprised if he did some dumb stuff like that. Because contaminating the evidence. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Come on. All of a sudden, nobody know nothing. You know what I'm saying? We ain't telling you where we picked the gun, where we found the gun at. We don't know if there are exit wounds or entry wounds. And we don't even know if he was shot in the back or the front. The only thing we know is the same thing the grandmother knew. He was shot in the torso. Grandma know more than them. Grandma said shot in the back 3 times. How about the officer? Where's the officer's statement of where he shot this guy at? They don't even have that. That's not being transparent. He said he drew down on you. You shot him. So, to me, he couldn't have been shot in the back, and this officer survived this. So my guess is that whatever happens with this autopsy report, it's going to come out he's shot in the front. So I guess he put his key in the door, turned around to shoot the cop, turned back around after he got shot, fell in the door. Not making any sense. None of this making any sense to me. Not a bit of sense. You know, and I'm just assuming. I'm just making an assumption. I'm not saying the brother had to point his gun at the cop or not. I'm not even making an assumption. I'm not making a determination on that. I'm just saying, let's look at it at if he did. What's his motivation? What is his motivation? They looking for something. Well, they trying to find something that he did to say, oh yeah, he's mean. He what? What did he do? What are they trying to find on this brother? They say this guy was the brother. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the good guys, like one of the guys that actually not out there doing foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
But Meade is trying to say he's out there doing foolishness. And he absolutely saw a gun pointed at him and not a sandwich. So, and I guess the clincher is that the gun is pointed, because you can't point a gun at a police officer. You know, as the procedure said, that if a person points a gun at a police officer, he can shoot. So, if based on that, you're trying to tell me that Officer Meade, right, thought this guy was pointing a gun at police while he was driving a car, didn't seek follow police procedure, seek a boundary, put a boundary between him and the alleged person who was pointing the gun, right? That don't make sense. So if he's fearful of his life, why don't you have a boundary between you and the person you suspect of having a gun? That is not consistent with a man that's pointing a gun at somebody. You know what I'm saying?
And the no backup.
It's just, come on now. This ain't rocket science. And you know, I'm getting tired of even having the same old show. I'm doing the same old, almost saying the same old things. people just, as you can see, they muddy in the waters, telling you what you're looking at or what you saw ain't what it is. This is what it is. You know, when a man had a sandwich in his hand, had to put the key in the door, just that alone, that brings suspicious to suspicions to why me killed this brother. And we don't know if the whole gun story came after the he was killed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We don't know when that gun story came, because it could be a total fabrication and a result of them finding a gun on his person. And the reason why me was trailing this guy, I don't know. Guys, I'm as clueless to that reason as I am to a reason Casey would be pulling a waving a gun at police, a task force in the neighborhood, and he chooses to wave a gun at, are you kidding? I told him, that's a bizarre story right there. So I guess toxicology, they're looking to find some LSD or someone crazy, some soap. What's that? Bath soaps or something in his blood or, you know, something to say that, oh, he was crazy that day. He wasn't himself. He is a good guy, but this day he decided it was the first time he used bath soaps, crystals, you know what I mean? First time he ever tried it, and that's what happened. I don't know. But it's like, come on. How did he even get home if he waved a gun at police? You know what I'm saying? So we got a suspect in a late model Malibu, just waving a pointed gun at me. This is 23781 reporting back up at 2nd and Elm Street, headed north, following suspect. Copy. It would have been like a whole bunch of people. You know what I'm saying? Like the dude that went over there by himself. Who does that? No backup. He didn't tell nobody on the radio. Ain't that police procedure? Before you make a dumb move like that, you just pull the radio that in. What the issue is? Following suspect with a gun. Pointed gun at officer at 2nd and Elms, traveling north in a black Camaro. License plate 02765 Delta 1. When it ain't none of that going on. It just seemed like he just went after this dude. Now, I don't know what kind of cop he is. 17 years on the force. Look at his record. See if he got any infractions, any complaints or something like that. See if he involved in any police shootings, right? Because they probably trying to look down Casey's, they trying to see what he did in kindergarten. You know what I'm saying? What did he do? Did he steal candy? Mm-hmm. What did he do? Yeah. Did he hook his school?
Mm-hmm.
Did he smoke weed once? Well, he did something. You know?
Like,
yeah. Come on now. Come on. Even, you know, I wonder when these guys get tired of doing this, going through this, you know, because I'm tired. I feel like I'm on a hamster wheel on my show.
One thing they can say about that officer is that he was definitely not a team player. Because had that had happened the way he said it happened, and just say that happened, and no one saw it except for him, he's out here with a team supposed to be reinforcing or helping each other, got each other's back.
Right.
He goes into a dangerous situation or address a dangerous situation without anybody on the team. So even if he fails and he's taken out,
right,
the rest of the team is exposed because he never told anybody anything.
Right.
He ain't a team player.
Right. I mean, nobody mentioned that this guy is operating outside of police procedure. They didn't even mention that.
Big time. Huh?
They ain't mention it.
Big time.
So the question becomes, why should we believe him? Because he's already doing something he shouldn't be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So why should we believe his story, which sounds bizarre anyway? Then he said, a witness in the community heard him say, drop the gun. Like, okay, you said drop the gun. Why are you there? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why does he have to drop his gun? So, I don't know. It just seems like he created his own jeopardy, if there was any jeopardy at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Somebody heard him say, drop the gun. That's to say that validates that I saw a gun. That don't mean you saw a gun because you said drop the gun. That could mean you thought it was a gun.
Mm-hmm.
One of them Subway sandwiches. He said he's sure it was a gun. Wouldn't you say you sure it was a gun? You saw a gun?
Mm-hmm.
If a man didn't have a gun and you murdered him, you shot him three times,
yeah.
Not once, three times. You put him down. You need a good reason for why you killed this man. You know the only reason you could kill him is he had a lethal weapon pointed at you. So is that what you're gonna? Yeah. So what you gonna say? He had a gun pointed.
Not on his person.
Yeah.
Not on his person or holster.
Right.
Point.
But that's not the story that the law enforcement reported. At first, he pointed, he waved the gun, whatever that's supposed to mean. That's another one of them muddy terms, right? He waved the gun. What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Who used that term?
Like he's greeting somebody.
Right. Like, so that means he can explain that later on. That gives him room to wiggle. What that mean? What he going to call that? Let's get some more evidence. Let's just stall him. Wait. We almost got him. We're going to wait a little bit, see what comes out in the wash. Then we put our story together. We're going to say what those terms mean. So, to me, I mean, why would we believe this cat? Because I think he's not believable because he's already acting. Performing of duties outside of his duty. You know what I'm saying? Outside of his duty, he's supposed to perform his duty. And in doing that, it cost someone his life. And in his, by his own admission, it put his own life in jeopardy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't hear nobody saying them type of things, though, but I know that much about being a police officer and how you approach people. You're not supposed to create your own jeopardy. Not for moving cars, not for anything. Like that he suspected that guy. You suspect he has a gun, so you're just going to walk up to him? Really? Then you're going to say, drop the gun. That makes sense. And if he does have a gun and he's an open carry state, why does he have to drop his gun because you said so?
Mm-hmm.
To pull my gun out, to drop it in that situation, because, you know what I mean? My weapon is holstered and somebody's telling
right.
me to drop my weapon. So as soon as I pull out my weapon or try to pull out my weapon and put it on the ground, they shoot me.
Right. Mm. And you know, I didn't even think about that.
They're afraid.
That's right. I didn't even think about that. You know what? I didn't even think about that. Because that might be about what happened also. I didn't even think about that. Maybe he did respond to him. But then again, how did he do all of that? Put his key in the door, hole in the sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hell of a stunt. Shoot, I have a hard time getting my key in. Sometimes I don't have anything in my hand. You know what I'm saying? They just make pull a gun on somebody and open the door with a key at the same time. I don't know. It's all very suspicious to me. The only thing that's obviously clear, the only lethal threat was law enforcement. The law enforcement officer who thought nothing of taking the life of Casey Goodson at his home in front of his family. Now, if he shot him in the back, last time I looked, back shooting has always been the trademark of a coward or an assassin. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't hear the guy say, I feared for my life, but he said, he pointed a gun at me and I fired. That's a little different than I feared for my life. But is that true? How true is his statement? This guy's acting. He could be just covering his butt. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I don't hear nobody mentioning that, not even the news people. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. They're already trying to fix this thing up already. They muddy the waters, so really there's no absolute statements being made. And in some cases, there's no statements being made because we ain't going to make no statements until all the cards, all 52 cards is on the table and we can call it the way we want to call it. You know what I'm saying? We want to make sure we can support this guy, Case. That man is dead. This guy right here is one of ours. Let's make it work. Because I don't know. I wonder if we were discussing. Me and Paris was discussing if the guy had headphones on. You like none of them little headphones people wear in the ear?
Oh, yeah, earbuds.
Yeah, if he could even hear that officer. Maybe was it some reason he couldn't hear him? If he did say something? What, you know, we don't know. Like, what was going on there? So, he shot him multiple times, right?
Mm-hmm.
Until the threat was eliminated, or the man or the target appeared to be eradicated or dead. So, he's the threat. He's obviously the threat. It's just another fact. The officer intended to kill Casey, right or wrong, guilty or not guilty. Black man breathing is a threat, especially a black man who is licensed to carry and is carrying. Hence, the killing of unarmed and armed black men is not going to deter black men from obtaining firearms. If anything, it will create an urgency to arm oneself from those sworn to protect and serve. Hence, the Black Panther Party of the late 60s and 70s. Hence, some guys walking around right now, in light of the constant killing of black men by law enforcement, the question becomes, do black men have a right to defend themselves against lawless law enforcement? Is it coming to that? Has it come to that? Has it always been that? The Ohio Attorney General's Office, which normally investigates shooting involved police officers, said it declined to do so in this case because it wasn't notified until 3 days after the That's who's going to be investigating it. So, you know, I just think it's all very suspicious. And nobody's calling this police officer on acting out of protocol, police protocol, and creating the endangerment that he said caused him to take this man's life. So we'll find out what's happening with the case. We'll hopefully this is not something that be swept under the rug. And we'll see. We'll follow it and see what happens. Because I don't know. I got a funny feeling. If I was a bet man, I would bet me did something, did the things wrong that I just said, and which contributed to this situation. I don't know if he saw a gun or not, but you're going to shoot somebody, or if you think somebody's going to shoot you because you're scared, or if you want to create that scenario because you want to kill a black man, well, you got to at least say, put the gun down, right? You got to make it. You have to make it so. You have to speak that into existence. So was me speaking the dilemma into existence to justify the killing of Casey Goodman? Was me fear? Did his fear cause him to perceive that Casey had a gun? Or was it just plain evil? We don't know. We'll never know. And, you know, let's see how the investigation unfolds, because already you can tell the fix is in. Right? So we want justice before we're murdered on the street, because justice should keep us alive. Justice should preserve us, especially when it comes to police officers. That's the justice we want. And I think I speak for every black man and every man and woman on the walking. That's the kind of justice we want for ourselves. We want the kind of justice that will keep us alive. Nobody wants to be a martyr. We all like breathing. So with that in mind, we run out of time. And I'm sorry to hit y'all with another dark story about another dark man being murdered by a cop, by law enforcement. Do your own research. Check this story out for yourselves. Come to your own conclusions. Keep following it. See what happens. Until next week, y'all, I want to thank everybody for calling in. All you listeners, I want to thank We Call Productions for allowing me to host this show. I want to thank Blog Talk Radio. And thank God. And until next week, y'all, everybody, remember, each one reach one, each one teach one. Peace out, y'all.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials, because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner, because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run, or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised.
There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.